Hey, this is Splash, and you are listening to the Minnesota Music Shakedown.
Welcome to episode number 37 of the Minnesota Music Shakedown, a podcast dedicated to spinning some of the best original Twin Cities and beyond area music. Featured this week are conversations and new music from Amanda Grace and Splash. I'm your host, Mark Sterry. Check me out at marksterrymusic.com. And thank you for supporting live and local music.
This is Amanda Grace, and you're listening to the Minnesota Music Shakedown.
With dignity as my ancestors did. Can I stand strong and believe in myself? Can I be humble and real with each step? Can I be a parent and I lose my mind in it? Can I lead them out if I don't want to leave the house? Can I stand tall if I shouldn't compare myself? Can I have love and a calling too? Can it be a type of its own tune. Can I be every little thing that everyone else needs? Can I be every little thing that everyone else needs? Evenly, I give me away. Change in this place where I stay. Can I share my stories in a way that they remember me? Can I be a beacon when I can't see my own way? Can I love when they don't have the same faith? Can I find a prophet when they've all been killed? Can I fix the broken systems I've helped fulfill? Well, can I stop this rage when I'm pissed with all I've paid? Can I steal back time and enjoy?
Amanda Grace, welcome to the Minnesota Music Shakedown. How's it going today there, Amanda?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Where are you Zooming in from today?
I am Zooming in from my house, my studio in Winona. And just kind of, I haven't been outside yet, but seeing a very warm, sunny, blue sky. Spring-like day.
I just watched your video for Give Me Away, and it could have been filmed today. It's so nice outside in February. Unbelievable. Right. What's that painting over your right shoulder, that guy playing guitar? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, actually, this is a painting that I got from an estate sale when I was in college and I was living here. I just loved it. I call him the guitar guy, and it's an oil painting, and it's very up close. I'll text you a picture later, but you know, it's really textured, and I was like, I have to have that picture, you know. So I don't think I spent much on it.
Nice. No, it looks really, really cool. Yeah, it looks like a classic, neat painting.
And junk in the background on the other spot of the house.
Nice, nice.
I've been going through the bills.
So I haven't been to Winona in a while. And what's your favorite watering holes down there?
Well, those crazy days for me are kind of, you know, limited, you know, now that I'm a musician and a parent. But there is a brewery that we liked to check out. It's just changed ownerships, called Island City. Is a cool little space as far as music venues. There's music here almost every night, it feels like, or karaoke, which is fun. No Name Bar is quite long-standing, well-known venue. Broken World Records is right across the street as far as music in a bar and some kind of retro, you know, I guess, surroundings as you kind of walk in. It's kind of cool. So there's just, yeah, there's a lot. There's some new restaurants that have come. And yeah, a lot has changed for sure.
Very cool.
And like some cool leisure things to do too as well.
Nice. We're here to talk about your new record, Give Me Away. So can you tell us about how and when you started it? What were your influences or what got you going on this record?
Well, I'm trying to remember exactly when I started recording. I believe it was sometime February, March. And for the most part, it went pretty quick and it was a different experience for me. I've done a lot of stuff sort of on my own with a friend, just like one or two friends. Like my previous record with COVID was we recorded in my basement with masks on. You know, it was just what we did to get through it. But this one, I've been wanting to work with Matt Patrick at the Library Studio for a while and finally kind of worked out in my life to be able to do that. And, so it was more, you know, kind of taking two or three days at a time and tracking everything. We tracked it with a list of people that he works with that you pick from. And so I sort of picked the sounds that I really felt like, what this person's going to, you know, nail it, and sort of put a team together. And then we just track it live, which just keep playing the song. They've never heard it before. They are not introduced to it ahead of time, and just kept playing it live over and over and over. And then finally we find like the sound that we want, the solos that we want. And I sort of co-direct what I liked happening. So it was a really great experience and it was very efficient. And I don't have a lot of time. So it was just like, you know, the longest parts were actually the vocals, because not that they didn't go well, but there's a massive workload as far as how many different harmony lines and the approach and the challenges of, like, I put some songs in there that I later thought, you know, maybe I shouldn't have written that song because that was hard. And why did I do that? Because it's like, it's just a typical thing you do wrong. You always put songs on your record that you can't sing. So they're all turned out pretty good, but there's definitely some challenging ones on there for sure.
Cool. Well, I'm going to ask you about some individual songs that popped out to me anyway. And you can talk about maybe your songwriting process, your influence and who played on it, whatever information you want to share. How about the song, the title track, Give Me Away, a kind of mid-tempo Cities 97 rocker one?
Yeah. So that's a song that I just wrote it and I worked hard on it. I mean, I thought about how to rhyme the line or how to do a lot of internal rhyming, and it's really probably the most defining song of where I feel like I'm at as a human, as a, you know, in a long-term relationship. I have a family, you know, I'm a community member and I'm trying to be active and doing things here. And it was probably the most realistic as far as what I feel, you know, where my headspace is. And, I think a lot of people feel like that, but it's sort of that revelation that, you know, we're all doing the best we can, but we do need to realize that, you know, everybody has some stuff in here in their soul that they got to get out for others. And it's just, you got to grind it out. You have to work at it. You got to keep doing these little things, you know? So that song turned out pretty unusual and cool, and Matt really, really liked it. I didn't really like it that much. I mean, I was like, it's okay. It wasn't not my favorite. It's not my, like, you know, I think it's fun, but it's just, I don't know. It just happened to be the best characteristic of probably the story of what I wanted to share, I guess.
Where'd you shoot the music video?
In my backyard. Yeah, in my backyard, partly, and different little spots in the area. We had to, it was probably the most stressful little short time that we had, because a lot of different changes happened in our family the last few months. And so it was just like, time was really limited, and you know how little things go wrong and you're just trying to scramble and put this together. And so my son actually did a lot of, the final editing. My son is getting into videography and photography, and he's a weightlifter. And so he's kind of been really my support team, literally. And he's making these little content, things, and trying to kind of just build his experience. So it was very convenient too, that, I could be like, okay, we got 20 minutes. Let's run back there and, see if we can get this done.
So have you made videos before? Like, were you lip syncing, or how'd you guys set it up?
So typically when you do something like this, where you want the audio to line up with your video, you want to get your finished product done first. And so then you'll take it and put it up on like SoundCloud or someplace you can play it over and over. That's unreleased, obviously, because you're not trying to share it yet. And then you will just take as many, you play it in the background with a speaker, and then you're lip syncing along with it so that your audio turns out to be the quality that you want. And then, you have to go back and sit. And I hate editing. I don't do it, and I won't do it. So my son handled all that stuff too. And he had a local videographer sort of train him in a little bit and then let him take over the project. So it was really a good experience for him too. Because I told him, like, you can do this. This is perfect. This is right up your alley. It's what you want to do. So, just go for it.
Sounds good. Yeah, it looks like it turned out great. How about this? Don't mind my dogs. The mailman must be dropping off something.
No. I think mine's outside waiting for the mailman.
Oh, my God. Hold on. Copper, come on now. Come on, Copper. Let's stop. Okay, how about the song Hey Pretty One?
That's one of my favorite songs to play, just because it's fun and it's really a song. The storyline of it is you kind of have, this person's crushing on someone and, experience this little interaction that later at the end of the song, if you get the lyrics, is really, they kind of let it go at the end and just realize, like, this is just a crush. Like, I was attracted to this person, and that's all it is. But, it's not, I don't necessarily relate to it because, again, I'm in a long-term committed relationship, but I think it's catchy and fun. And so it's fun for me to play.
I'm kind of like similar. So how do you get your influences for this kind of stuff? I was thinking about watching like soap operas or something, and just writing like a song for the show just so I can vicariously live, like write some edgy song,
Honestly, I'm embarrassed to say, I don't remember writing a lot of my stuff. I don't remember when it was written. I have it on my scratch notebook somewhere. I'm organized in that sense. Like, it's documented somewhere. But I don't remember. Sometimes it's just a riff will come to me and I'll be just kind of jamming on my guitar or whatever. And then I just kind of get something, and then I'll come back. I'll write down sometimes, I'll get the chorus first. And, other times you get more of a melody line or an idea. I've been doing some songwriting classes for kids for a long time where we kind of take the concept of creating a catchy title, and then we write based on that. And it's kind of like a 50 or 60 minute class, and I've typically a couple times a year I get to do that and kind of have that experience with kids. It's really fun. But that's not always how I write myself. It's just, it's an idea. It's a tool, you know.
Is that a saxophone in the beginning of that?
Oh, it's like behind me?
No. In that song, it's at this cool, deep sounding saxophone or whatever. Or is that like a synth? What is that?
I don't know. I think it's a synth. And I got that. I don't know. You have to email Matt and ask him. Cause he had a lot in there at first. It was, and I kind of said, "Will you scale some of this back?" And he did. But it's just, I really love what he did. If you just ever get a chance to go see his studio, the kinds of instruments and the kinds of oddities, I've never seen anything oddities. Like it. I have not seen anything like it, and so. He's just a musical nerd and a genius. So, which I love. So I think, you know, you ever get a chance to tour the studio, I would recommend it. It's huge. And it just, these rooms kind of go on and on. And then you walk into another room and all the entire studio is covered with books, that he actually picked up from I think it was like a Catholic school was you know, changing over their library or, you know, closing or something. So it's packed full of these books. And and there were moments where I'd be like walking through the studio or I just kind of, you know, your eyes sort of land on a book and you read the title and you're like, gee, that I should really read that. You know, it's just funny, like moments like that. You're almost like this book is trying to find me, and so it was very intriguing, and you know, it's really like a child at play. You know, watching him work was like a child at play, and we're both very easygoing, kind of laid back people, so it worked out well.
So tell us about your show. I'm not sure if this will be out by then because I record these way in advance. But how about your show on February 8th? At the Ice House, like who's playing on it? Do you have any other shows coming up after that? Just tell us about some of your live events coming up.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Thank you. So for that show, Fathom Lane is doing a two-piece opening set at 8 o'clock at the Ice House. Doors are like at 6 because you can get you can get dinner there and drinks, and so it's. It looks pretty fun. And then you, my group will be coming hopefully around 9:15. And I'm imagining it's going to be a tidy show because it's a Thursday night and it's probably, I don't want to say 45 minutes and then have people be like, I need to go to bed, but I think it's going to be an hour maybe tops, of music. And so kind of a nice for a release show, you know?
Cool. Go ahead.
Oh yeah. And after that, I have to pull up, I don't have my calendar. I think I need to look at the date here for a second. As far as other shows, I'll be playing in Winona, I think on the 17th at the brewery. As far as other shows I'm excited about, I would, mention Saturday, March 9th. I'll be in, Hayward. If you have been up there at all, and we're hoping there will be snow and stuff. So we can goof around in the snow, but that is going to be a really great show because I think I'm going to have a full band and I will be doing such a variety of music that night. I'm going to be probably playing some American standards on the piano, a couple of those. I'll be the brand new material I'll play in the second set and then probably, my favorite picks from like the 8 albums or the 7 albums in that first part of the show. So I'm excited because I've worked on the set list. I'm like, I'm going to try to really make this different, put different stuff in there.
Where are you playing in Hayward? I'm from Wisconsin.
It's a little theater called the Park Center.
Huh.
So yeah, tickets are online. They're $20. Students, I believe, are $5, And I, you can get those tickets now. They do a variety of regional Midwest acts. And I've played up there a couple of times in the past, once with a women's band that is now disbanded for the time. And then I feel like I came up there and I did a different event. I can't remember when that was, but yeah, cool little cozy theater. You can grab a drink, popcorn. I don't know what else was going on that weekend, but I'm sure there's some stuff. They've always got something going on in Hayward.
Always. What's your social media stuff if people want to follow you or check out the record or check out more shows?
Thank you. Yes, that would be musicbyamandagrace.com. And you should be able to pre-save the upcoming album that's going to drop digitally on Valentine's Day. And I did Valentine's, so I thought it would be an easy thing to remember. But so it's if they can click on that link, and it'll open up all the different little stores. Then you can, you know, do Spotify or Apple or whatever. And then it'll just drop it in your, it'll open it up for you on Valentine's.
If you really want me. See you walk this way, trying not to stare as you turn your face. Hey, pretty one, I'm pretty sure you looked at me.
Yeah.
Hey, pretty one, you know I'm kinda shy. Not typically the one who would be your type. You think there's a chance that you could give us a try? Say hello, but I took it too far. Hey, pretty one, I will say no more.
would like to take a minute or two to thank two sponsors of this week's podcast, Mosaic Chrysler Zumbrota and the B-Dale Club. Although we kind of skipped winter this year, with the year I get a brand new Jeep, that's still okay. It's been a blast rocking and rolling the back roads with my dogs, traveling gig to gig in my new black Cherokee X I got from Mosaic Chrysler. I love it. Their philosophy is simple, time-saving, hassle-free, fair price. Check out their inventory at ZumbrotaCDJR.com or take the beautiful drive down US 52 to 1900 Roscoe Avenue, Zumbrota, Minnesota to visit them in person. Business hours are Monday through Friday, 8 to 6 p.m. and Saturday, 9 to 5 p.m. Closed on Sundays. Check out Mosaic Chrysler Zumbrota today and enjoy a safe winter, spring season full of adventures and memories out on open road in a new ride. Also, check out Monier's newest adventure in giving the best deals on vehicles, Mosaic Chevrolet Zumbrota. And also the B-Dale Club, the BDC 2100, one of my favorite places on planet Earth, one of my favorite bars, especially in Roseville/St. Paul, Minnesota area. The B-Dale Club, located at the corner of County Road B and Dale's, motto is a place for family, a place for friends, a place for fun. And that is a stone cold truth. Looking forward to rocking out with my good friends Brian Johnson and country rocker Dan Neal next Thursday at the B-Dale Club Thursday music lineup. There's music there every Thursday. Swing on out. Natalie, Shelley, and Dustin, entire bar staff are the state-of-the-art cocktail wizards. As of late, my libation of choice, the classic Greyhound cocktail. They're the quote 16-time world champion Ric Flair. Tasty little devils. Also, new PDQ Barbecue, owned by Troy and PT, is an excellent addition to the BDC experience. And the food is award-winning excellent. Live music, pool table, pull tabs, Tuesday night chess society, bingo, meat raffle, bocce ball Thursdays, and much, much more. B-Dale's got it all. Stop by for a cold one. Now. Splash, welcome to the Minnesota Music Shakedown. How's it going today?
It's going great. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. Where are you zooming in from today, this beautiful February day?
Yes, I am in this unseasonably beautiful February day. I am in my apartment in St. Paul, Minnesota.
In St. Paul? I'm a St. Paul boy.
Oh, nice. Yeah, no, I've been a Minneapolis. I mean, I've been both over the years, but I was a Minneapolis guy for many years until recently. I just moved back to St. Paul.
Cool. Where's your favorite places for dinner, drinks, music, whatever in St. Paul?
You know, I do really like the Palace Theater. I've seen a lot of great shows out there. Played some good ones at both KJ's Hideaway and Metronome, which is kind of a newer venue in Lower Town. Yeah, those are some great spots out here.
Cool. What about you? Oh, me? I like the B-Dale Club, which sponsors the podcast. I like Halftime Rec. I like Gabe's. I like Skinner's. I like the Spot. I like the divey kind of bars.
Yeah.
That's my thing, but whatever. It's all good. Anyway, so I was going to ask you about your name. Can you tell the listeners how you got the name Splash?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of a layered story, and some of it's kind of wild. But, I mean, it started out, a lot of these songs came out of a songwriting group that I was a part of on Facebook over the lockdown. It's actually run by one of the guys from Ozma, if you've ever heard of them.
Okay.
A favorite band of mine. But it was like a prompt writing group, and out of that, you know, I had written Here Comes the Flood and When the Well Runs Dry, so there was already a little bit of like a water theme coming through, and at one point I was like thinking about like maybe doing an album that was like themed after the Suit of Cups in the tarot. So water was already kind of on my mind, although that idea I ended up letting go of because I was having to do too much gymnastics to try and get it to fit the songs that I had. But then meanwhile, I was a part of this interesting, strange program called Sleepover Mystery School that's exactly as weird and awesome as it sounds. And one of the things that we did there is we had to sign, as part of like a ritual, we had to sign our old names into the Book of the Dead and pick new liminal names out of a bowl. And, you know, I'd never had a so much as a nickname before, like not even Andy or Drew. You know, I was always Andrew my whole life. And the name that I pulled out of that bowl was Splash. And it instantly just, it suited me and it like felt right. And it helped, you know, sort of connect with some of the things that I was trying to bring into my life at that point. And And, you know, so for a while it was just a nickname, and then I'd been writing these songs. I had a band called The Floating Perspectives, but this felt like something new. These songs didn't really fit in with what I was doing there. And so it took me a while to figure out, like, oh yeah, like this should be my artist name now. So that's the story there.
That is a really good story behind it too. It almost seems like it's providential, like it had a mind-like intent behind it when you pulled that name.
Yeah, no, it definitely felt that way to me too.
Oh man. So just quick, what was this house? Or sleepover mystery? Can you just explain that a little bit more?
Yeah, it was basically just a series of four retreats, like centered around sort of the Western esoteric tradition and ritual magic, which is one of many sort of strange, like fringe sort of spirituality things that I've been involved with over the years. But it's run by these two women, Carolyn Elliott and Layla Bernard, who have a pretty decent following as internet witches.
Nice. Very, very interesting. So let's talk about your new single, Under the Rose. The video is really cool. I just got done watching that cool puppet kind of thing. It fit the song very well. God, that was cool. Let's start talking about your song first. Where you tracked it, who played on it, maybe what inspired it, that kind of stuff. Really good vocals, by the way. I thought it was really cool.
Oh, and thank you so much.
So just tell me a little bit about the song and the video, if you don't mind.
Yeah, so the song, that was one that I actually, I sort of wrote towards the end of this Sleepover Mystery School program. And, you know, I mean, roses are just a simpler motif that I've seen pop up a lot in, like, a lot of literature that's really spoken to me over the years. And I also was just, like, I went to this Find Your Stage conference for singer-songwriters last year, and that's actually where I crossed paths with Matt Patrick, who ended up producing and engineering the album and also playing on it as well. And there was like some seminar, and someone was talking about, like, you know, telling people who you are, and he's like, you know, I want it to be like really cool, but it turns out like I'm a gear nerd. But when I started being myself, you know, that's when I found the people that I connected with, and you know, this sort of like sort of spiritual or you know, kind of countercultural or, you know, maybe woo side of me, if you want to be a little more pejorative about it, is like something that's really been in the songs that I've been writing for a long time, but it's something that I've been a little coy or a little cagey about, like being more direct about. And so this song was in many ways like a thesis statement for the project, and sort of me kind of like stepping into like being willing to be who I am a little bit more publicly, even though some people inevitably will not get it, you know, just in the name of connecting with the people who will. And so that's kind of where that came from. And it's, you know, it's just about sort of the power of subtle in general, things that I've learned on that journey. So I brought it to Matt Patrick at the Library Studio, who is just absolutely phenomenal. Can't say enough good things about him. And I did a really different process. Like a lot of the bands that I've recorded with before, I came in like with a band and with arrangements. But this time I just went in with my lyrics and my acoustic guitar, and, you know, we did some scratch tracks, and Matt had some helpful suggestions around like some adding some musical breaks or some things like that. And so it was a very collaborative process in that way. And then we brought in my longtime friend and phenomenal upright and electric bassist, Matthew Blake. And he came in along with Zach Miller, who was a drummer that I got through Matt Patrick. So sort of a specific need here where like half the album is like, as Matt said, like dark Western, and half of it is like art folk. And so we wanted someone that could do like kit, but also do like some percussion stuff. And so the three of them together, Matt Patrick, Matt Blake, and Zach Miller, laid down the bed tracks. Then my dear friend Haley Ann of Lulu and the Shoe came in and did the harmonies. And a really big hit that I was so excited about is Shannon Fried Rubin from Cloud Cult, which is my absolute favorite band, just a band that means so much to me ever since high school. I actually have a Cloud Cult tattoo on my shoulder. And I had met her through a mutual musician friend, and reached out to her, sent her some of the tracks, and, you know, we were able to get her to come down and play for it. And that whole crew is playing at the release show on Friday, with the exception of Zach Miller, who was not available. He had a family engagement.
So when does the full record come out? I thought it came out in the summer.
Yeah, the full record comes out in the summer. Sorry, it's just the single and the video that we're releasing on Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, it's super, super cool. How do you approach one of your favorite musicians or bands to sing on your stuff?
Well, she played violin.
Okay. I mean, she played violin, I mean.
You know, I was very, very lucky, fortuitous in that regard. Like, I was going to see a friend of mine, was opening for, the release show of a band, Battery Boy, that she also plays with. And, that our other friend, Eric Carranza, who's, you know, he's all around the Twin Cities playing with a lot of different bands. He's a St. Paul guy as well. And, so I went to see my friend Rachel and Eric's bands play that night, and Eric introduced me to Shannon and made me show her my cloud called tattoo and stuff. And she, you know, she's just an incredibly sweet, kind person. And I like tentatively asked her then. I asked if she ever did like session work or anything like that. But it wasn't. It was, and so we were like connected on social media and stuff. But then it wasn't until I think almost a year or two later that I had these tracks from this album. And you know, she's got such a specific, like all string players, you know, like strings are such a personal instrument, and she just has this really beautiful, like mournful, like very expressive tone that I really thought would fit with these songs. And so, yeah, I just sent her the drafts that we had from the studio and asked her if she would be interested in playing on them, if we could hire her for some studio work. And yeah, to my eternal delight, she was willing.
And that's really outstanding. Really,
yeah, so she did original violin arrangements for this and four other tracks that are going to be on the album.
What's the name of the record? You're not going to say it? You're going to say it or no?
Yeah, I can say it. The album is going to be called Breaking the Dam.
Breaking the Dam.
With the water theme.
Oh, my God. So what's? Can you explain what Breaking the Dam means to you then as a title of a record?
Yeah, I mean, it just has a lot to do with, I think, like, catharsis, both, like, and, like, getting things flowing, both sort of emotionally and creatively, you know, like.
Yeah, very clever. Very clever. So what's some of the shows you have coming up to promote your new music?
So this is the big release show, and this has just been consuming my life for a while. So we've been putting a lot of time and energy into this one this Friday at the Phoenix Theater. Tomorrow, geez. And after that, we've got some out of town gigs. So at this show, the band that's opening is Paper Chain, which I play keys in, but it's really the project of my dear friend Caitlin Benson. And we played together in a band, Common Practice, the last couple of years. But after that one ended, we realized we kind of shared like some sensibilities in terms of our tastes and our missions with music. So in addition to playing with that project, we've been doing a lot of like synergistic like booking and stuff. And so we're doing like some out of town runs in like nearby places in like North Dakota and Wisconsin and places like that. I don't have the dates off the top of my head, but if you sign up for my mailing list at splashysongs.com or follow me on social media, then that's it. That's a good way to stay apprised.
Nice. Who are your lyrical influences on this record? I was listening to the Under the Rose song, and it was just, you had a very unique and cool turn of phrase in the song. It just seemed really thought out, really interesting lyrics. Who's your lyrical influences?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. It's hard to like pinpoint exactly who the influences are in that regard, because I feel like, you know, I read a lot of books and I listen to a lot of music that's like very lyrically driven or lyrical emphasis. So I mean, there's probably a ton of people over the years that have made their way in there. But I mean, Craig Minowa from Cloud Cult is definitely one. Like I really aspire to what that music has like meant for me personally. Like I really aspire to reaching people in the way that has reached me. Yeah, I mean, I listen to a lot of Decemberists, The Shins, Damien Rice is a big one. Musically, Damien Rice was also sort of a big influence on me now that I've sort of been picking up the acoustic guitar a little bit more. I mean, The Hold Steady, amazing lyricist. Mountain Goats, just, yeah, probably a fair bit of the Mountain Goats in there.
So what kind of keyboard do you use?
So in the studio, I was fortunate enough to be able to use an actual piano. But for live gigs, I play a Korg SV2. I recently upgraded from the SV1.
Nice. And what tones do you use? Your favorites?
You know, I'm pretty classic when it comes to, like, I really consider myself above all else like a pianist, and I just use, you know, keyboards because they're easier to transport. But in general, for my own stuff, I pretty much only ever use piano, and that's been true of my work with Paper Chain as well. But I also play with a band called Artificial Flowers, where I'll break out some organ tones or things like that occasionally if I'm playing with a more rock outfit. But I generally, and some EP there too, but generally I'm pretty purist for piano sounds.
I might ask you a selfish question during this interview. So I just picked up an organ from my mother, and I do a multi-instrumental, it's whatever. I do a lot of instruments on my show. I do like a one-man band, play the drum on the guitar, bass, guitar loop, all this shit, whatever, harmonica, lead guitar, whatever. So I want to add little keyboards, little funky organ in there. And so I got just a Casio thing. It's not total piece of shit, but it's not too bad. And the organ sound was just kind of like a perk organ, I think it said it was called. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's not quite organy like that Jimmy Smith or whatever his name was. And so I was at the music shop today, and Kurt Jorgensen, a musician, said to get a tube screamer, and I plugged in a tube screamer on top of that kind of generic organ sound, and it sounds pretty cool. Will that work, you think?
You know, I am so not a gear guy. I mean, that's almost part of the reason that I like to play in, you know, the chords, lyrics, and melody world, but like I don't have the patience or the interest that some people do for like playing with sounds and patches and things like that. So like I like to stay as out of the box as I can, because for me it's I get into a rabbit hole when I'm messing with the settings. It's like, oh well, the knob like it there sounds good, but it sounds good there too. You know, like I don't really feel like I have the vision to do that kind of explorations.
Set off down the stream, came to see what I mean. If my whole life is a dream, then who am I? So I pondered, all I see is I grew roots like a tree, and I wandered aimlessly through space and time. A dream. The only things I really mean are the things we do in the rose garden. Yeah, those things that we do in the rose garden. I set off down a path that would make most people laugh, but I knew my whole life
feeling less than alone. And at home in my heart, I am free.
Bringing home this week's episode of the Minnesota Music Shakedown is a track by one of the featured guests this week, Amanda Grace, with her song, Hey Pretty One. Thanks to Andrew Crowley from Organica Recording for assisting in post-production of this podcast. This has been the Minnesota Music Shakedown. If you'd like to toss a buck or two in the podcast tip jar, please go to patreon.com/MarkSterryMusic. If you like what I do, check out my website, MarkSterryMusic.com. For a song or artist submissions, please email me at MarkSterryMusic@gmail.com or message me on social media. Thanks for tuning in. Till next time.
You want what you want, and most of the time you get it. You're true to yourself, and you don't see you're selfish. The line is the line, but it can be moved if one can't get in your way. Oh baby, there's hell to pay. I can't live this way. All of my days, I'm just a slave, a slave, a slave. I'm done with this, done with you, and all the things you do. Done with lies all the time. I can't believe that I thought you, that I thought you, that you wouldn't be you. Faces, I know that I can. I'm sick of these silent traps. I know you're below. Where I need to go. Now I'm running.